I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the word, if that's okay with you. It's 11:30, so that means I got till about 2:30. Just kidding. Come on, stand with me for the reading of God's word. Let's jump in. We're coming from Matthew chapter 20 this morning, starting in verse 29. And we are continuing, as you would have guessed, in our series, Property Lines, talking about boundaries. Come on, has this blessed anybody? This series, talking about healthy and godly boundaries. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you don't get to have no boundaries. Come on, somebody. Just because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean that you're a doormat. Come on, somebody. We need to have boundaries. We've been looking at the life of Jesus as well over the last couple of weeks and how he handled boundaries and how he set up property lines is what we've been calling it over the last couple of weeks. And it's really been incredible. And I believe today is going to be just as incredible. And God is going to work and move in this place in an incredible way. We're going to leave here better. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. The Bible says this. Now they went out of Jericho, and a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting in the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. Oh, come on, somebody. They tried to shush them. They tried to tell them to hush. They tried to tell them to sit down, because they were trying to get Jesus' attention. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called to them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. Father, over the next couple of moments, I ask that you would help me to preach and teach your word today. Father, help us to establish property lines. Help us to establish and know that, God, you have property lines for us, and that we should look at those property lines and establish them for others around us, Father. Help me, God, as I teach and preach today. Hide me behind the shadow of your cross, and may the seed of the word of God fall on good soil with the people today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we've been talking about boundaries over the last couple of weeks in our series, Property Lines. Has that been a blessing to anybody? Has this been a blessing to folks? Come on. So we've talked about the boundaries of sin. In week one, we talked about the boundaries of sin and weaknesses, and we talked about property lines and boundaries that we needed to establish, amen, property lines that we needed to set up. And then we started a couple of weeks ago to look at the life of Jesus. We looked into the life of Jesus and looked at the boundaries and the property lines that he set up. And the first thing we found out from the scriptures while looking at the life of Jesus is that Jesus actually said no. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Y'all enjoyed that way more a couple of weeks ago. Come on, slap your neighbor and tell him no, 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 no. So Jesus said no to demands. Jesus said no to abuse. Jesus said no to entitlement. Jesus said no to people being cynical with him. Jesus said no to manipulation, which is witchcraft, by the way. Jesus said no to people who were being prideful. Amen. And last week we looked at the fact that he did not always talk kindly to people, especially ones that were taking advantage of other people. Come on, somebody. Jesus flipped tables and he created a whip and he drove people out of the house of God. Why? Because they were taking advantage of people. Jesus doesn't like to see people getting exploited. Amen. He said no and challenged the rich young ruler over his addiction. The rich young ruler had an addiction to his money and his finances and his lifestyle. Can I just say that too? Addiction can be to a lifestyle. When I was mixed up in the world and in sin and drugs and all of that stuff, I was addicted to the lifestyle just as much as I was any substance. The rich young ruler, he was addicted to his lifestyle. Jesus said no to this. This is not good. He said no. And then he even was willing to let him move on. He let him go. Amen. And here is where we find ourselves this week. I want you to really pay attention to this. For all you note takers, here it is. Jesus had expectations for people that he interacted with. I'm going to let that sit for a second. Let me get some water. Jesus had expectations for people that he interacted with. He had expectations for people that he interacted with. Come on, it's real quiet in here. It's real quiet in here. You want to know why? Because we want Jesus to do everything for us. We want Jesus to do everything for us. We want him to do every little thing for us. But the moment that Jesus asks us to do anything, we want to take a step back. Come on. We want to take a step back. Come on. Y'all ain't trying to hear this, but I'm just going to plow through it and preach anyways. Come on. We're going to look at three ways or expectations that Jesus put on people while he was interacting with them. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want you to really pay attention to this today, that if Jesus put these type of expectations on people back then, guess what? He puts them on you and I today. So Jesus has expectations for us. So as we dive into this, I want to look at a couple different ways, and I'll help you as we go. And let's get started. So with these three things we're going to talk about, I need you to know that Jesus is asking this, and you need to be asking yourself this same question to the people that are around you. Jesus is going to ask these three questions that I'm going to give you today. And then you need to take what Jesus asked, and you need to ask that to your people, places, and things, and the situations that are going on around you. Amen. And here's the three questions. What are your desires? Do you want to get better and do better, and do you believe? What are your desires? AKA, what do you want from Jesus? And what do others want from you? What do you want from others? Do you want to get better, and do you want to do better, and do you believe? So we're going to look at these three different texts today, and just know that Jesus is asking us these questions. I can't stress that enough. Jesus is asking us these questions. So number one here, what are your desires? Let me make it plain. What do you want from Jesus? What do you want from Jesus? Look at verse 32. So Jesus stood still and called to them, and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked them, "What do you want?" But I noticed something spectacular happens in the text before Jesus asked the question. Did you catch it? The two blind men are acting crazy and doing whatever they have to do to get Jesus' attention. Come on, now y'all are waking up. Jesus never asked the men what they want until they get his attention. They must have been going pretty hard in the paint. Come on, because everybody in the crowd that day was trying to shush them. They was trying to tell them, you need to be quiet. You need to sit down. The master's walking through, and you're just a couple of blind beggars. But Jesus, after they get his attention, he says, "What is it that you want from me?" Can it help us in the church today that some of you in this room, you need to get a hold of God's attention today? You need to get a hold of the master who's walking up and down the aisles today and ask him, and he's going to ask you, "What do you want from me?" Can I help us today too? The way that you get God's attention is praise. Oh, come on, somebody. I said the way that you get God's attention is to praise him. The people are telling them to shush, you need to sit down, but they just begin to get all the more louder. Come on, somebody. They just took it up a notch. They took it up another level. They went to another stratosphere in their worship and in their praise. And they said, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." Come on. Some of you need a breakthrough in the room today. Some of you need a miracle in the room today. And you ain't going to get it just sitting there being nice nice and quiet and quaint. You need to get up out of your feet. You need to get up on your feet. You need to give God a shout of praise. If there's anybody in the room that needs a breakthrough, if there's anybody in the room that needs a miracle today, you're going to have to praise your way through it. You ain't going to be able to sit there. You ain't going to be able to be quiet. You're going to have to get up out of your seat. You might have to run a lap. You might need to do a little twirl. But if you'll get God's attention today, he could step into your situation and you can get the breakthrough that you need from God. Come on, so many of us need something from God, but we just want to, and don't get me wrong, I'm not judging anybody's style of worship. I know so many people are coming in to this house, and this is new to you, and you're learning about all of these things. But let me tell you something right now. Everybody can do this. Everybody can sing. Everybody can talk. Come on, sometimes you just need to get God's attention, and the way that you do that is through praise. If you think that praising God is just sitting in your chair and doing nothing, you are extremely wrong, my friend. All you've got to do is look at the 7 Hebrew words for praise. Come on, we don't just do the things that we do for no reason and because it's religion or because somebody told us to do. The things that you see going on in this room, you'll find them all in the Bible. Come on, somebody. Like we've got to praise God. You might have to sing. You might need to clap. You might need to move your body a little bit. Come on. If my kid wants my attention, you want to know what he does? He yells, "Daddy!" And when my son gets my attention, I come running to figure out what it is that he wants. Can I help y'all today that God is a way better father than I am? And some of you just need to get God's attention. Some of you need to put a praise on your lips. Some of you need to open your mouth. Some of you need to clap. Some of you need to stand up. Some of you need to do something for God and say, "God, I need your help." Can I help you too? When you need a breakthrough, it ain't got to be some long, elaborate prayer. You ain't got to be a theologian. You ain't got to be a Bible scholar. You don't got to be a pastor. You don't got to be a 5-fold ministry leader with your business card. All you've got to do is say, "God, I need your help. God, would you come into my situation? God, would you intervene in my marriage? God, would you give me a breakthrough in my finances? I need help." They said, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Help." It don't take a bunch of elaborate talking and you quoting a bunch of scriptures. Sometimes the way that you get God's attention is just by saying, "Help." Come on, you've got to praise and get God's attention. You want to know the other way that you get God's attention? It's through prayer. So you start out with praise and then you pray. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but instead through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and then you give him thanksgiving for it, and the God of peace will guard your heart, and he will guard your mind." So many of us, we need a breakthrough from God. We need a miracle from God. We need to get God's attention, but we don't know how to praise, and we don't know how to pray. The Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Do you want to know what gets you onto the property with God? Is you giving him thanksgiving and you giving him praise. And then when you get into the inner courts, you give him thanksgiving. Come on. Some of us need to be thanking God for the things that we don't even have right now, the things that we can't even see right now. You want some Bible for it? It's the word todah. It means you're praising God for things that you have not yet seen. Come on. Some of us need to get our words to match up with what we're believing God for and speak those things that are not as though they were, and put a praise on your lips, and you can draw heaven into your situation. You do understand that that's what praise does, right? Praise brings God into your situation. Praise brings God into your scenario. Praise brings God to where you need him. Come on, somebody. God inhabits the praises of his people. Come on, somebody. God inhabits the praises of his people. So many of us are needing a breakthrough from God, but you can't get God's attention because you won't praise and you won't pray. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise gets you into the inner courts. Come on, somebody. Praise gets you into the inner courts. And praise looks in so many different praise. Barak. It means to kneel and to bow down. That's a form of praise according to the word of God. So praise actually requires something of you. Can I just say that today? That praise actually requires something of you. Praise. So we need to praise God. Praise and prayer is what gets us the breakthrough. Amen. Some of us need a miracle, but we don't want to make a sound in church. Can I just help you? A quiet church is a dead church. I'll say it again. A quiet church is a dead church. The enemy's worst nightmare is for you to find your voice. I said the enemy's worst nightmare is for you to find your voice. The enemy's worst nightmare is for you to find your praise. The enemy's worst nightmare is for you to find a praise on your lips and a praise in your heart and a praise in your mouth. He could be throwing everything at you that he can. But you want to know what happens when you praise God when you're going through hell? It confuses the enemy. Come on, Jehoshaphat. He told Jehoshaphat, you put the worshipers in the front. Jehoshaphat was in a bad situation. Come on, somebody. He was surrounded by a great army, and God told him, you put the praisers and the worshipers on the front. And what happened is that it began to confuse the enemy. Well, why did it confuse the enemy? It confused the enemy because they weren't supposed to be praising God right now. They were surrounded by the enemy. Come on. Some of you have been surrounded by some dark seasons. You've been surrounded by some dark things going off. Your kids are lost. Your own drugs. You're this. You're that. Something is going wrong, but you can confuse your enemy and win the battle if you adjust. Just put a praise on your lips, even though you're going through the craziness. If you'll praise God, you can bring him into your situation because it's praise that draws on heaven. Some of us need a breakthrough, but you've got to praise your way to a breakthrough. Praise and prayer. Praise and prayer. These men got Jesus' attention. They got Jesus' attention. Come on, it's your praise that can confuse the enemy. It's praise that brings God into your situation because God inhabits the praises of his people. And can I help you this morning? God is undefeated. Come on, touch your neighbor. Wait, neighbor, wake him up and tell him that. God is undefeated. Come on, he's never lost a battle. God is undefeated. Come on, some of you let your old church or your old way of doing things put a muzzle on you, but I came to take the muzzle off today. Come on, somebody. I came to tell somebody about praise today. I came to tell somebody about worship today, that you can draw God onto your scene of your situation if you will simply praise him. Come on. We need to have a praise on our lips at all times. My Bible says, everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Come on, somebody. Praise him will get God's attention. Come on. Some of you have been told, or you think in your own mind, well, I don't know that it takes all that. Come on, somebody. I don't know that it takes all that loud music. I don't know that it takes all that loud singing. It doesn't take all that shouting. It doesn't take all that dancing. Why don't you tell the children of Israel it don't take all that shouting as they circle in Jericho when God is the one who gave them the instructions to let out a Shabbat praise. Some of you have got walls that you are facing, you're surrounding. You've got the enemy has blocked you out. Maybe your own conscience has blocked you out. Maybe your own decisions has blocked you out. But if you can put a Shabbat on your lips, come on. If you can let a shout come out of your lips, your walls of your situation can come down. Praise. Amen. Praise brings him in. Praise brings him in. And when he gets there, he's a good father. Remember the first point here. He's asked him a question. What is it that you want from me? What do you need, son? What do you need, daughter? You've got to get him onto the situation. You've got to get him in there. Praise gets his attention and brings him onto the scene. And when he shows up, he's going to ask you, what is it that you need? The second thing that kicks that thing in is prayer. He is asking you a question of what you need. Now you need to simply communicate back. How do you communicate back? By prayer. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but instead with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So praying and communicating with him and then thanking him for it. Pray and communicate with him, then thank him for it. Pray and communicate with him, then thank him for it. Pray and communicate it with him, then thank him for it. Come on, enter into into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. There is protocol in prayer. So many people are frustrated with their prayer life, and it's because you're not getting your prayers answered. Can I just tell you, if your prayers got answered, you'd be praying a lot more. But see, what people don't recognize is that there's protocol to prayer. Y'all hear me say this all the time, but there's visitors all in the room, so let me help them today as well. Amen. Come on, somebody. Like, you have got to follow the proper protocol in prayer. God doesn't need you flying up in his face with your big, long laundry list of breakthroughs and everything that you need from God. You need this, you need that. No, what you need is to worship the King. What you need to do is praise him. What you need to do is thank him that you've got breath in your lungs and you've got blood bought born again DNA flowing through your veins. Come on, somebody. You've got a lot to be thankful for. You live here in America where we can gather like this and we can worship him and we can praise him. Come on, somebody. You've got food available to you. You've got clean water to drink. Come on. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got everything that you need in your life. So we don't fly up in the face of God with our big long laundry list. We fly up in the face of God with thanksgiving and worship and praise. And did you catch the text? He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what you want from him. But you've got to get onto the property with him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Gates keep things in and gates keep things out. And courts, that's getting an audience with the King. You'll ever watch them old movies where like, there's a king and there's a kingdom, and my wife makes fun of me because I like watching all these old school movies. Come on. She's like, this is so boring. I think it's interesting. But they just don't never walk up in the face of the king. First off, they come into the king's presence, and this is how things really used to be in monarchies. By the way, you're a part of a monarchy. This ain't a democracy. The Bible and the truth of God's word, it ain't up for a vote. Come on, somebody. Come on, the way that he has asked you to live, it's not up for a vote. Come on, somebody. Like, we got to stop debating what's truth and what's not truth. The truth is in his word, and the truth is what he said. But you get into his presence, and you bring honor and reverence, and it gets you onto the property. And then once you get on the property, you go into the inner courts of his presence. And once you get there through thanksgiving and praise, now you can make your request known to the king. So many of us aren't getting our prayers answered because you just fly up in the face of God with everything that's wrong in your life. You don't thank him. You don't praise him. And he's not even hearing you. I know that's strong. You want to know, God doesn't answer 100% of the prayers that he doesn't hear. God doesn't answer 100% of the prayers that he never hears. But we want to fly up in the face of God with all of these things instead of following proper protocol and getting before the king. And here's the thing I want to tell you today. God wants to hear from you and know what it is that you want. Can I say that? The master wants to know what you want. Did you notice that God asked him what he wants and then he gives it to them? He simply wanted to know what they were believing for. He simply wanted to know what they had been believing for. I know I'm going to get an email or a text or a Facebook message from what I'm about to say, but I really don't care because I'm not scared of none of y'all. Come on, somebody. Can I just say this? God wants to know what you want, and then he wants to bless you. Yeah. I'm going to try it over here. I'm going to try it over here. God wants to know what you want, and then he wants to bless you. Let me try it over here. God wants to know what you want, and then he wants to bless you. God wants to know what you want, Jeff, and he wants to bless you. Come on. God wants to know what you want, and then he wants to bless you. Come on, we have gotten to this place where we've let a few people take the prosperity message and they've manipulated it and they've perverted it. But I came with good news for somebody today that God wants you to be prosperous. He wants to bless you. This ain't about a Mercedes-Benz in your driveway, but it'll be a byproduct of sonship if you will live for God and do what He's told you to do and walk in obedience and give to the kingdom of God for you to prosper. First John says He wants you to prosper just as your soul prospers. And I don't know if you know this or not, but your soul is the richest thing on earth. You want to know why? Because Jesus paid the highest price to get your soul saved. He paid the highest price for your spirit to be renewed and regenerated and born again. You know what the Bible, watch this, this is crazy. The Bible says that He wants you to have the desires of your heart. Now watch this though. Those who delight in the Lord, He wants you to have the desires of your heart. Oh, Jesus. See, you want to know how this works? If you ever get your desires to match up with His, if you ever get your will to want to match up with His will. That's third John. He says, if we will pray in accordance to the will of God, we know that He hears us. There's them prayers getting heard. And when He hears us, He will give us whatever it is that we ask for. Those whose heart is set on Him, who their delight is in the Lord, He says, I will give you everything that you need and everything that you want. Matthew chapter 6 says, there isn't a sparrow that falls out of the sky that He doesn't know about. Come on, y'all worry about clothes and houses and all this stuff that the Gentiles do, but my God wants to take care of you better than the sparrow. He wants to dress you better than the lilies of the field. Come on, somebody. God wants your outfit on fleek. Come on, somebody. I mean, He wants to take care of you. He wants you to look good. You know, don't miss that. Catch what He said. He says Solomon wasn't even as dressed as good as I dressed the lilies of the field, and they're here today and they're thrown in a fire tomorrow. And you think that God doesn't want to take care of you? Yeah. What if your desires began to match up with the heart of God? Come on, what if you didn't want to just get rich so that you could store up in a storehouse, but you wanted to have generational wealth so that you could pass it on to your family and your children and your children's children? Because my Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. What if you wanted to build the business so that you could bless other ministries and so that you could tithe and that you could make a kingdom impact that would last for an eternity and not just a couple of cars in the driveway? Oh, come on, somebody. What if we wanted to shift our life into a lifestyle of prosperity that said, God, I love You and I love You more than anything else, and it just be a byproduct of sonship that says everywhere the sole of my foot treads, it's mine. Because the hand of God is on my life. We've got to get our desires to match up in accordance with the will of God, because He wants to hear you and He wants to bless you. He tells him, he says, what do you want from me? He wanted to hear. Can I help it? Jesus knew that they were blind. It's a rhetorical question. He knew that they needed a miracle. He knew that they needed a breakthrough. Yet He asked them, what do you want from me? 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 1 John, now this is the confidence that we have. If we pray according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that our petitions have been heard of Him. There is some condition to these things. Our petitions need to be prayed according to His will. Can I just help us today? Some of us aren't getting what we're asking God for because it's not in His will for your life. Come on, somebody. You want that boyfriend. Single ladies. You want that boyfriend, but it's not in God's will for your life. He don't love God. He don't go to church. He don't serve God. He doesn't have God in his plans. He doesn't have God in his intentions. But that is not praying for the thing that is in accordance with God's will. Because God wants you to have a godly husband. Come on, somebody. God wants you to have somebody that loves him more than he loves you. That way his relationship here is right. And then all of his relationships vertically get put back right. Amen. Come on, you want that new job, but the business is going down in 2 years and you don't know it, but God knows it. You're not praying in accordance to his will. See, God is smarter than us. Come on, somebody. Come on. You've been praying for God to give you a raise, but he can't trust you with the money you got now. I better move on. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Another condition for you to get this is to delight yourself in the Lord. And if you do what God wants, he will give you the desires of your heart. Come on. When your pleasure is found in him, when you make him number one, your pleasure is found in him. You live for him. You love him. You are for him. He will provide everything that you need. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. He will add to you the house. He will add to you the car. He'll add to you the wife. He'll add to you the husband. He'll add to you everything that you need, but you have to learn how to put God number one in your life. And when you put God number one in your life, he will give you the desires of your heart. So Jesus asked us, what do you want? So we've got to flip this. We know that Jesus is going to ask us what we want. Now we've got to flip this. In your relationships, you need to know what people want. If you're going to put up property lines and boundaries in your life, godly, healthy boundaries, you are going to have to know what people want in their relationship with you. Come on. Do you know what the people want that are around you? Come on. Does your spouse know what you want? Come on, somebody. All my married people better shout amen in here. Does your spouse know what you want? Come on. Do your friends know what you want? Do you know what they want? Do you know what you want in your ministries? Do you know what you want in your career? Do you know what you want in your businesses? Do you know what you want to get out of school? Come on. Do you and other people around you know what you want, and do you know what they want? If you don't, things and boundaries and lines are going to get crossed, and now we have people offended, and now we have relationships that are thrown to the wayside because there is no communication in the relationship because you haven't put up property lines and boundaries. One of the biggest destroyers of relationships is a lack of the property line communication. You don't know what they want. They don't know what you want. They don't know what you like. You don't know what they like. Now there's no property lines and somebody's getting offended, and now the relationship is damaged and unrepairable. Why? Because you never set property lines by communicating what you wanted or what they wanted. Is that cool? Is it not cool? Does that cross a boundary? Does that cross a line with me? Is there a line established between you and your leaders? Is there a line established between you and your boss? Is there property lines that say you can only go this far? Amen? So Jesus asks us the question, what do you want? We need to be asking other people the question, what do you want? Are those lines draw, and are those lines clear? So here's the second thing I want to give you. Do you want to get better, and do you want to do better? I got to hurry. John chapter 5. Can we get that up? Y'all still with me? John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting on the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first at the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man there was who had an infirmity for 38 years. He was there for 38 years, y'all. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, Jesus knew he had been in that condition for a long time. Then he says this, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered and said, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but I'm coming. While I'm coming, another one steps down before me. He gives Jesus an excuse. Now watch Jesus' reaction here. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Jesus did not even recognize his excuse. He didn't pay it any attention. He says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. You got to love Jesus, don't you? The man been laying there for 38 years, y'all. And Jesus is going to walk up to him. What do you want? What do you want? Here it is. Do you want to even get better? Do you want to do better? Do you want to get better? Some people would read that and say, Jesus, let me help you out. The brother wants to get better. But I submit to you today that Jesus didn't need any help. And he doesn't need no help then, and he doesn't need no help now. The man had been laying there for 38 years, and Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Jesus had boundaries, and Jesus had property lines for folks who wanted to pull on his anointing. Jesus had some property lines established for people to pull on his anointing. There was an expectation. Jesus is saying, if you don't do your part, I'm ready to do mine, but if you don't do your part, you ain't getting that. Can I help us today? That Jesus is asking some of us the same question. Some of us have been petting that same old demon or that spirit that's been tormenting you over the last 5 years, and Jesus is in the room today, and he's asking, do you want to get better? Come on, somebody. We've got to stop petting anxiety and worry and fear. And I want to say this. I was just at a youth conference, and I seen more kids who were broken. They left free, but there is an attack on this generation like I have never seen before. And it's real, because these kids are like really depressed. They're really suicidal. They're really dealing with all kind of intrusive and crazy thoughts. They got this thing right here, this thing right here that controls and dominates even grown-ups' lives. And we hand them to kids, and we think that they're going to know how to control and how to rule over that thing. They're all tore up. But Jesus is asking us the question today, do you want to get well? Are we going to try to find deliverance at the end of a pill bottle? Are we going to try to find deliverance on the other end of a couch with the shrink on the other end? Come on, somebody. Or Jesus is asking the question, do you want to be made well? I'm not denying the fact that you've been going through things. I'm not denying the fact that you've been sitting here for 38 years. I'm not denying the fact that you might be depressed right now. But Jesus is asking the question this morning, do you want to be made well? He knows what you're dealing with, but do you want to be well? Come on, some of us have accepted the diagnosis that the doctor gave us, and instead of pushing back on the diagnosis with healing scriptures, we've just accepted it. But Jesus is asking us the question today, do you want to be made well? Some of us have this besetting sin that we just keep getting tripped up over and over and over again. We've got this weight that so the Bible says in Hebrews, let go of the weight, that besetting sin that so easily entangles you. And Jesus is ready to set some folks free today. But the question is the same. Do you want to be made well? So many of us have responded to altar calls about getting free from things that we have zero intentions of letting go of. I know that's tough, but the question is the same today. Do you want to be made well? See, a lot of people like the idea of being free, but the second Jesus asks them to do something of them or require something, they want to throw in the towel. No, notice the man had to do something. Jesus says, okay, you want to be made well? Pick up your mat and walk. The man gave his little excuse, but Jesus didn't even notice it. Jesus didn't even say anything about it. He ignored it, and Jesus didn't even respond to it. Soon as he said it, he said, pick up your mat and walk. If you really want this, when I give you, here it is, the word, just partner your faith with it and watch what will happen. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible didn't say he felt better than he got up. The Bible didn't say that he noticed some sort of difference and then he got up, or that his legs were strengthened and then he got up. No, the Bible said as soon as Jesus spoke the word and he said, get up off your mat and walk. Do you want to know what that means? Is that the man, he got up on a word. I'm about to run all over this building. I said he got up on a word. I don't know if you know this or not, but Peter didn't walk on water. Peter walked on word, because Peter could have never got out of that boat if Jesus didn't say, come son, and get out of the boat. Come on, all you need is a word from God to get delivered. All you need is a word from God to get healed. All you need is a word from God to get set free. Come on, some of us need to get up, pick up our mat, and stop accepting the thing and the diagnosis and the junk that has been labeled on us, and us pick up our mat and walk on the word. All it takes is one word from King Jesus for it to shift and change your life immediately. Come on, it was when the centurion, he comes up to Jesus, he said, my servant is about to be, he's sick, he's about to die. And the centurion comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, why don't you just take me to him? The centurion says, no, I'm not worthy for you to even be in my house. Jesus, I'm a man under authority, and I recognize these things. He said, all you've got to do, Jesus, is give a word, and my servant can get up. Come on, somebody. All you've got to do is give a word. And Jesus' response is, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. I'm trying to encourage somebody today and get your faith to rise, that if Jesus can whisper something in this altar in your ear today and you can get a hold of a word, he can heal you, he can redeem you, he can restore you, he can take back the years that the locust has eaten. You want to know how I came to Shelbyville? It was on a word. God told me, if you go, I'll send the fire and revival will come. You are evident of that today. Come on. You just need a word from heaven to shift and change your situation. Hallelujah. So Jesus asked them the question, what do we have to do now? Jesus asked them the question, so what is it that we've got to do? Y'all with me? I'm almost done. You've got to ask the question, do the people around you even want to get better? Jesus wants to know. This is one of the boundary and property lines that Jesus sets up for us as his people. He wants to know if you want to get better. And if you do want to get better and you want to do better, he's willing to help you. But here's another question that we need to be asking people that are around us, people, places. Do they want to do better? Come on, some of you are so frustrated in your relationships, and it's because you're wrestling and you're grappling and you're going back and forth with folks and people and places and things that don't have any intentions on trying to do better or trying to get better. And until you put a stake in the ground today and says that you cannot go any further than this, you're going to get wore out. You do understand that this is why Jesus set up this property line and boundary, is because he was in ministry. Yeah. Come on, let me talk to my ministry people. Yeah. Come on, I get really frustrated really quick when people ask me for help, but they don't do the last thing I told them to do. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's extremely frustrating. And Jesus sets this property line and boundary to say, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do, but are you going to walk in obedience to the thing that I told you to do? Your spiritual leaders, or if you're a leader or a ministry leader in this house, Christians in general, you are going to be helping somebody who's younger in the Lord than you. You ought to be doing that. This ain't just on the fivefold ministry or the pastors. If you're a Christian and a believer, you should be pouring into somebody. Amen. And so when you do that, you have got to set up a boundary and a property line that says, I will help you. I will invest into you. But if you're not interested in listening to what I've told you to do, see, so many people, they want a word from God, but then they seem like, man, I'm not hearing from God. God isn't telling me what to do. I don't understand why I'm at where I'm at. You didn't do the last thing that God told you to do. Do you want to do better? He's asking the question this morning. And I'm asking you the question to the people that you're in relationship with. Do they, you need to ask yourself this serious question. Do they want to do better? Because Jesus, we're looking at Jesus' life here. Jesus draws a line in the sand and says, if you're not willing to get up, pick up your mat, and walk, although you ain't seen the breakthrough yet, then I can't mess with you. I can't fool with you. People, Jesus would not let people pull on his anointing if they were not willing to do their part, because he 100% would do his. He will 100% do his. The Bible says, draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. You want to know what that means? You take a step towards Jesus, and he takes a step towards you. You take another step towards Jesus, and he takes a step towards you. Some of us have got to start taking some steps toward Jesus and stop throwing our hands in the sky and in the air and wondering where he's at, and start being obedient to the things that he's told us to do. And in our relationships, you cannot get warned. This is why Jesus, if there was any pressure, I got to hurry, but if there was any pressure on a ministry leader, it was Jesus. He was bearing the sin and weight of the world, and he sets up this property line because he knows, if I don't draw a line in the sand, I'm going to burn out. Yeah, Jesus, Son of God. Ministry leaders, y'all better hear me real well in here, because there's tons of you in here. If you don't draw a line in the sand and say that people, places, and things can only go this far, you're going to end up burnt out. You want to know the average tenure of a pastor now is 7 years. Pastors don't make it past 7 years now because they never set up property lines. They never set up boundaries that say, okay, it can only come this far. And you in your life, you will get worn out and frustrated, and it could bring an end to your walk with the Lord if you don't put up property lines and say that things can only come this far. Jesus. Worship team, y'all come, please. As they play, I want to show you just this last thing. And it's the third question here. Do you believe? Remember, this is Jesus. He's asking us these questions today. You need to be asking others this question. What do you want? Do you want to get better? Do you want to do better? And here it is. Do you believe? Mark chapter 9, verse 21, we're picking up a little bit down in the story, but there was a boy who was having seizures, and the devil was literally trying to kill this young man, and here we step onto the scene. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? How long has this been happening to the boy? This is Jesus speaking, and he said, from childhood. Often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch this. When Jesus saw the people were coming and running together, that's when he rebuked the unclean spirit. And he said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Look, I'm all about deliverance. I believe in casting out devils. We do it all the time. We do it especially in our recovery ministry because people come in filled with devils. We've done it in here. We've had people manifest, and we've done it right here. We've done it in aisles. We've taken them in the back. I'm all about casting out devils because the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. They will speak in new tongues. Come on, they will cast out devils. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will be renewed. But if you read that text, as soon as Jesus saw that a crowd was coming, he rebuked it before the crowd ever got to witness it and it become a charades of shenanigans. We got a lot of deliverance ministries that are running around with cameras, and they're giving more glory to the devil than King Jesus, who is the one who will cast the devil out and send it to a dry place. Jesus handled it before the crowd got there. He said, I'm not letting anybody get my glory. No devil's going to manifest and show his rear end in here and Jesus not get the glory. Don't get me wrong. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to take authority over them by the power of God's Spirit. But we ain't here to let any devil try to steal the show from God's glory. Then the Spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became one as dead. And many said, he is dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The greatest tragedy in the American church is that we've got a bunch of unbelieving believers. We have a bunch of unbelieving believers in America. We don't believe the Bible is the authoritative word of God. Did God really say that? Come on. Is that relative for today? Do we still live that way? Surely not. That's Old Testament. That's old. Are the gifts for today, that healing stuff, that was just for the apostles, right? The miracles, the signs and wonders, they've ceased. Come on. Tongues have ceased. Nobody can prophesy. Can Jesus really set people free? We're living in a day and age. I just don't know about that. But Jesus put expectations on people. The man said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus wanted to see and ask him the question, do you believe? So I'm asking you the question, do you believe that prayer works? Do you believe that fasting works? Come on, do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that God still works miracles? Do you believe in the gifts of his Spirit? Jesus had expectations and property lines for his people who would draw on miracles from him. These people needed miracles, but Jesus set up property lines that said, okay, I want to know what you want, but I need to know, do you want to get well? I need to know, do you want to get better? And I need to know, do you believe? Do you believe? There's so many of us in the room. We need something from the Lord this morning. You need a breakthrough. You need a miracle. You need a healing. You need a financial breakthrough. You need something from God. And can I help you this morning? Let me just say this, that God wants to know what you need. He wants to know what you need. Some of you, you've got some things you need to get better from. And God wants to know today, do you want to get better? Some of us need to get to the, I'm about to open the altars up here in a second. Some of you need to get to this altar and you need to ask God about some relationships in your life. And you need to ask God, because he's going to answer you today. You need to ask God, what do they want? Do they want to get better? Do they believe in you, God? I'm not saying we don't minister to the world and have friends that aren't Christians, but I'm telling you right now, you being hooked up to people that don't believe the same way that you believe, if you're not careful and draw a property line, you'll let them drag you down. Come on, can we turn down those lights? Stand with me on your feet this morning. I just want to open up these altars this morning for just a couple of minutes. I know we're a little bit past time, but I just want to open them up because some of you need to hear from God today. He wants to speak to you. He wants to know what it is that you need. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know, do you want to get better? He wants to know, do you believe? So some of you in the room, if you're believing God for something, you need to hear from God. You need to set up some lines and some property lines. I'm just going to ask you, as the worship team sings, would y'all just come and seek the Lord? God wants to hear from some of you today. Some of you are believing God for something, and He wants to hear from you today. He wants to hear from you today. Come on. People are already coming. Come on. God wants to know the breakthrough that you need today. He wants to give you an answer today. Some of us need to evaluate some relationships in our life. What do they want? God, make the property line clear today. Do they want to get better, or are they going to keep constantly pulling on my anointing, pulling on my life, and pulling me in directions that I have no interest in going in? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, worship team, minister to the people.